This past week, I was in court two times. One with an adoption case in San Luis Obispo County, and the other was in Monterey County on a murder case. And some things occurred in the court that led me to my sermon on Wednesday night. The introduction of the Wednesday night message I want to repeat right now, and then go into the message for today, because it is so good as to what the Lord revealed to me. To begin with, we all know that the Word says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and what follows that, and after that, the judgment. Okay, so we talked about judgment on Wednesday night. But the thing is that we have an intercessor now who is called whom? Jesus. And in the heavenlies, where Almighty God is located, He is there, and with Him is Jesus, because the Bible says that He is seated now at the right hand of God. Is that right? Okay. But also appearing sometimes before God is Satan. And the reason I put him in white is because he is the angel of light. He's the angel of light. And some people think that, well, at this place in heaven, remember that Satan came to God's court and he said, would you consider Job? You know, and so they had a conversation about the trials that were going to happen to old man Job. Well, some people think that Jesus is as interceding for us before God. I need, would you come, Tom, please? Let's just say Tom is at the bar. He's at the bar, and he's before God now. And we say, Jesus is in heaven interceding for us. But this is the slant that most people don't see. Satan is accusing you before God. And Jesus steps up and says, hey, you zip your lip. You stop, Satan. You cannot make accusations against this child of mine. This child belongs to God. And so Jesus is interceding. What he is doing is he is telling Satan, you have no right to touch this person. And he is interceding for us. So, thank you, Tom. You'll get an Academy Award, I'm sure. When Satan comes to me and he says, hey, Neil, you're no good. Or, look what you said. Look what you did. You know all these down things, these negative things. It is not God who tells you you're a failure and no good. You can't do this and that. Who is it? He whispers in our ears. And the bad thing is we usually listen to it. But nevertheless, in the heavenly courts, there is Jesus who is interceding for us. And I praise God for that. He's interceding. And he is telling Satan to get your hands off my child. And furthermore, as he comes before God, he is saying, I do not have to persuade the Father of anything. You have no claim. And then later when Satan comes and then he tries to circumvent the cross and he comes to the person like he says, you're under my hull and you know it. You can't control what you do. You always do what you do. You're under my hull. You're under my hull. Then at that moment, Jesus intervenes and he sends the sheriff, the Holy Ghost. Release your claim. Now that person, me, you, may continue to struggle with sin, but we have been legally declared free from all bondage. Hallelujah. We've been declared legally free. We are to claim our freedom and our full inheritance no matter how condemned we may feel. Hallelujah. It is the evil one who condemns us. So Jesus intercedes in our hearts, reconciling us with the Father, and he continually answers our doubts. He continually answers our fears. He reminds us that we are forgiven, and he reminds us of God's goodness and mercy toward us. So we may say, I've still got the battle in the flesh, but I know in my heart what Jesus did for me. Sin no longer holds me. Let me repeat. We still may have the battles, and who among us do not have the battles with the flesh? But I know in my heart what Jesus did for me. Sin can no longer hold me because I am legally free that way. So that happens in the court. But what happened in the court the other day that was so good? Darren, you come up here. I'll use you. I was watching the attorneys. I was watching how nervous they were, what they were doing, and all everything. Keep looking toward the bench. Okay. So the judge is up there, and he's asked for this case, and the guy's going, and the judge is looking through all the papers while the attorney is speaking. And so the judge is reading the papers. The attorney is here, and he's talking. And I said to Nancy, the judge isn't even listening to this guy at all. But he just kept on talking, and then he would pause, and then he would talk some more. You know, you want to make your point, and you want to keep on talking. And I said, why don't you shut up? Anyway, finally, the judge did say something like, you know, that made him stop talking. But this is the good part. And this is my sermon this morning. The attorney is standing here. Would you just babble to the... Say, Your Honor, may I say something?
Your Honor, may I say something?
Yes, you may. And just talk. Just say anything that comes to your mind now.
That cop must have had it in for me. I just...
Come on.
I didn't really run that stop sign.
Thank you. You'll get an Academy Award, too. The attorney literally did that. He hit the guy in the butt as if to say, shut up. You're making matters worse. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 7. Hush. Be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near.
Hallelujah.
The day of the Lord is near. Hush. Be silent. Actually, I had to shut up, but my wife said, don't say that. Shut up. So I changed the whole thing from shut up and sit still to hush and sit still. And the reason for that is that one day when my wife, her only sin, you know, many years ago when she made one mistake, she said, and she probably was talking to me, shut up!
No, I was talking to little kids outside.
She was talking to little kids outside.
I just had a new baby, by the way, and the noise was making up the baby. And I just went to the window, you kids, shut up!
And you may continue since you're on stage here.
That night, when Robin and Kenny were in bed, we had an upstairs. Little Darren, who for some reason was still downstairs, I guess because of his ear problem, heard them talking, and he went to the foot of the stairs. This little tiny kid just learning,
shut up.
That's all it took.
So that phrase is not in our vocabulary at home, but it was on my notes, shut up. But that's what it says in verse 7. It says, I'm sorry, Nancy, it says shut up. It says be still. It says hush. Any other translations with a different word? Zephaniah. Hold your peace.
Be silent.
Be silent. Where? Before God. The whole point, beloved, is that we talk so much to God, we never listen. And I was with some guy recently, and he was just talking in prayer, and I'm not criticizing the prayer. It was just, we pray, God, we want to hear your voice. We want you to talk to us. But he just kept on talking. And I thought to myself, well, how can you hear if you keep on talking? You know, so my mind was, let's be quiet. You've asked God to speak to you. Let God speak. But oftentimes we say, we want to hear a word from the Lord, and then we just keep on talking. Or we try to prove our case and we keep on talking. And so the idea is, as Zephaniah says, just hush before God because we're talking too much. Be still. Be still. In Psalm 46:10, the scripture says, be still. And what? If you're there already. Psalm 46:10, be still and know what? That I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. He said, I will be exalted. First be still and know. The idea is, this is God's ultimate purpose on all the earth. And to this end, he will send Jesus with the armies of heaven to take over the governments of the world, reign for 1,000 years, rid the earth of all rebellion, and things will be like it was before the rebellion with Lucifer and the Adam and Eve. Be still and know that I am God. Another psalm says, in Psalm 4, it says, hush, stand in awe, and just hush, and sin not. Commune upon you, with your heart on your bed, and be still. Hush and be still. Hush and be still. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Now, our rightful place in the heavenlies is not just to talk before God, but people, is just to be still. With reverence, with awe, with respect, and just stay right there. But few people make it their practice to be still. Hannah Smith, 100 years ago, wrote, we may believe, perhaps, that to pay a little visit to these heavenly places on Sunday or now and then in times of spiritual exaltation may be in the range of possibility, but to be actually seated there is within the range, and yet it is very plain that it is for us Sundays and the other days of the week as well. To be still before God. To be still. Our rightful place is to be in the heavenly places and sit still. But I wonder last week how many of us really took the time to be still before God. Oh, we had this to do. We had the appointments. We had all these things to do, calls to return, things to do, places to go, people to see. And we're just all the way around, and God is saying, hey, please, go in neutral. Get out of drive, and let me bless you. Let me talk to you. And you say, God, I want a blessing. Here I am, Lord Jesus. Bless me, bless me. Oh, I got to look at this. You go over there. And God is sending that blessing down, but by the time it gets to where you were, you zapped yourself away. So the whole point is, I want to motivate you people to be still. How can God give us visions when life is hurrying at such a fast pace? You go to a museum, you see people, for example, say an art gallery, and you have, let's just say, a whole lot of paintings. And somebody goes in, and he just, and then he goes to the next room. Somebody else comes in and says, he looks at every wave, every little bit of the sand moving, or every branch, or every flicker of a moon, or, in other words, studies. The person is still enough to study the painter, the artist. But we're in such a rush, we don't get to know the author because we just come in and slaughtered it and left. Good example is the aquarium. Last month, my sister from Mississippi came with her husband and their dear friends from Louisiana. We went to the aquarium. And there are all of these great displays on jellyfish. You know, I should be an authority on jellyfish because of all the information that was there. I mean, some were on soundboards even. But I walked through so fast. Ah, good. Oh, beautiful. That's pretty. And then all these paragraphs written that this particular fish is blah, blah, da, 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 blah, 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 blah. I didn't even read all that. And I went away dumb on jellyfish. And the reason is I was in a hurry. I didn't get to know the people who knew about the fish. In the art gallery, they didn't get to know the artist because they were in such a hurry. I guess God's got some problems. Right. Number one, getting me still. Sometimes I just love to go in my, I call it my gold chair in my home office, and just sit there, and I have headaches nearly every day, and I just lift with my head, that Nancy always knows where I am. I'm just quiet, just want to be so quiet before the Lord. And at first it was hard, because I was planning what I was going to do when I got up, but then it got easier, and I want you to know that I'm getting much better about just sitting and resting with God, being still. But he's got problems getting us still. That's his problem. And this is why he sometimes employs the ministry of dreams. He gets me when I'm asleep. because I'm sleeping and I'm still. And that's why he does sometimes employ the ministry of dreams or visions in the night or in daytimes. You can have a divine visitor in the shape of some worthy thought or some noble impulse or some divine suggestion, but we're in such a haste that we did not heed it. We passed along with the scripture wording that says, do not turn aside to see this great sign. And so we lose sight of heavenly visions. People, if you want more of God, you must relax the strain. You must moderate your pace. You must be still if you want to know more about God. So stand still and see what will happen. Dennis, would you put this on for me? Okay, be still, recognize, and understand. I want to suggest to you this morning three things in passing. What's going to happen if you do take this admonition and I motivate you to be still this week? The first is, if you stand still, you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Read this with me. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and hear the message of the Lord. And stand still and consider the works of the Lord. Drop it down just a little bit. Drop it down. No, drop the whole thing down. Okay. So you see the stand still. I want to see that stand still business. Stand still. Stand still. What will happen? We'll move it up to the top now. There you go. Stand still. Stand still. Stand still. Stand still. And here's what's going to happen. Dennis, remove the first, if you will. The scripture for Exodus 14:13, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You can raise it up all the way. There you go. Stand still and see. Here's what happens. If you'll stand still, you can see something. Read with me these two scriptures, if you will. Moses told the people, fear not, stand still. Firm, confident, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. Work for who?
You.
That me? Me. You. Us. Again, Moses told the people to what? Fear not, stand still. Firm, confident, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. He will. He will. And the second scripture, read with me, take up your position, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord. This is what happens if we stand still. We're going to see some things we've never seen before, people. Salvation, deliverance. We're not talking about heaven and hell here. We're talking about the nitty-gritty and where the rubber hits the road today in King City. See the salvation and see the deliverance. And I can confidently say that there is no one here or listening to my voice wherever you are that is not in need of a salvation in some area, in need of a deliverance. If we took time and if you would be honest, every one of you could list more than one thing that you need deliverance from, salvation from. So first of all, stand still and what? See. And then secondly, Dennis? On the second one. Okay, stand still here and what? And hear. So if I'm always running around and talking, I can't hear. So the word of God says this, and read with me. Moses said, stand still and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. And then the other one, Samuel said to Saul, you stand still first that I may cause you to hear the word of the Lord. Aren't those good scriptures? If we stand still, we're just going to see some things, but above all, we're going to hear some things. I mean, this is just in the natural physical realm. If you're still at night, you can hear the crickets. You can hear the birds of the evening. You can hear things. So here we're saying, stand still and hear the message of the Lord. Do you believe that God is actually trying to tell you something day by day? And you can't hear because you haven't picked up the phone and he keeps dialing and He keeps getting a busy signal. You know, I'm just too busy, God. I'm just too busy. And so we put on voicemail, and we come back, and this is God. I have called trying to tell you these things. Oh, I want to hear God so much. Yes, I've got the Word of God. This is His Word that I can read, but it's so good in my soul to be still and hear. And you can. You can. This is not audibly, necessarily, though possible. It is in your soul. So we stand still and we see some things and we hear some things. And Dennis, on number three, we're going to stand still and we're going to consider. This is Job. I like this. Consider the works of the Lord. Read with me. Hear this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Let's read with your name there. Hear this, O Neil. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. You know, God's done so many beautiful things in our universe, in our city, in our home, in our lives, and we just scratch it off as, well, this is status quo. This is the way it's supposed to be. We need to consider the works of God. Praise God. So we stand still this week. You're going to see, you're going to hear, and you can consider. Thank you, Dennis and Nancy and the lights. Concluding in Psalm 131, verse 2. In fact, I like the whole Psalm. Psalm 131, verse 2 says, I have stilled and quieted my soul. In other words, Nancy can't still my soul. I cannot still her soul. I cannot still yours. You cannot still anybody else's. The only soul you can still is whose soul? Your own soul. And what is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so David said, I have stilled and quieted my soul like a winged child with its mother. Like a winged child is my soul within me. Verse 1, my heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a winged child. In other words, there's no pride in my heart. There's no lofty look in my eyes. I do not desire what belongs to others or look down with contempt to those below me. What I have done is not to meddle in high matters above me or associate with those of higher rank. I have sought only to be humble, simple, and a childlike is befitting my station in life. I have not complained when chastened by others over me or when driven away from home and comforts. He says in verse 2, I recognize my place under others as subject of training and discipline if I get out of line. But as a winged child, no longer cries, no longer frets, no longer longs to be nursed, but is content because it is with its mother, so my soul is winged from discontentment, and my soul is waiting, my soul is hoping in God. So quiet yourself, or shut up and just be still before God. Zephaniah says, hush, just hush. And this is God's word for us today. And for Hannah Smith, again, this quotation, a quiet spirit is of inestimable value in carrying on outward activities. And listen, nothing hinders the working of the hidden spiritual forces upon which, after all, our success and everything really depends as a spirit of unrest and anxiety. That's the thing that just keeps those hidden spiritual forces work. There is immense power, she writes, in stillness. The great saint once said that she quotes, all things come to him who knows how to trust and be silent. She writes, these words are pregnant with meaning. Instead of restless struggles, we would sit down inwardly before the Lord and would let the divine forces of his spirit work out in silence the ends to which we aspire. You may not see, you may not feel the operations of this silent force. But be assured, it is always mightily working and will work for you if you only get your spirit still. If you only get your spirit still, say it, if you only get your spirit still, again, if you only get your spirit still enough to be carried along by the currents of its power. It is my business 2, be quiet and sell myself and be safe in God in every situation. And it's your business too, to be still, to be quiet, and just let God love you. Be still, my soul. Would you bow your heads? And would you let these words, pregnant with meaning, enter yourself? Bless you, Lord Jesus, that we can come to a quiet place like this right now and be still. Let the cars go by and let the world go on. Roll on, civilization, but we are going to. Yes, you will, Lord Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Minister to your people, Jesus, right now. Minister to your people, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that as a winged child, we can come to you that way. We can rest. Like getting up in your lap. Be still. And letting you just love us. And we're going to see some things. We're going to hear some things. And we will consider some things. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We bless you and we praise you and we thank you. Would you stand in his presence, people?